Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
Times being what they are, you'd think if a city built a fiber optic broadband network, it would use it to increase broadband competition, create business opportunities, and save money. But in the case of Longmont, Colorado, you'd be wrong. A city of 86,000, Longmont built its fiber broadband system in 1997, back before Comcast and Quest provided broadband. The city hoped to bring the technology to residents and businesses by partnering with private companies. Those hopes floundered in 2005 when Colorado passed a law backed by Quest that created several impediments for establishing municipal broadband networks. One requirement is that plans have to be approved by public referendum. And to make things even more difficult, cities aren't allowed to campaign in the lead-up to a referendum, but private ISPs can campaign all they want. Christopher Mitchell of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance says that the lead-up to Longmont's 2009 referendum for municipal broadband services showed how preventing the city from making its case resulted in a landslide win for the broadband companies.
It's a campaign of intimidation, and they have so many resources that they can confuse or scare enough people into voting no, despite the fact that most people, if you talk to them, will say, yes, they absolutely want more competition in telecom, and they want to see an asset that the city owns being used to benefit the community.
Despite the fact that the infrastructure was already in place, the telecom spent nearly $250,000 to convince residents that they'd have to pay to build it. And it worked.
CenturyLink, Quest, Comcast, AT&T, these companies are rivals in some sense, but in many senses, they work together to pass legislation that's going to further their collective, very big corporate interests. And one of those interests is making sure there's no new competition.
Since their loss in 2009, supporters of a municipal broadband network have been working on a new referendum, which will be voted on next month. Despite the industry's virtually unlimited resources to spend on robocalls and slick mailers, advocates have been educating the city's residents on the benefits of a city-owned broadband network. The vote may go a different way this time.
There was a debate at the end of September, and the people that wanted to speak to defend Comcast and CenturyLink's position, they could not find anyone in the community to do that. They had to bring in people from outside the community who are going to represent Comcast.
For more information about Longmont's broadband referendum, go to longmontsfuture.com.
Mexico has quickly become one of the most dangerous places for journalists as a drug war grips the nation. Since 2006, more than 30 journalists and media workers have been murdered or have disappeared, many in direct reprisal for reporting on crime and corruption. As print newspapers have been silenced, some journalists have tried to keep information flowing to communities on the internet, but that platform is proving equally deadly. Last week, journalist Maria Elizabeth Macias was reportedly killed and beheaded by a Mexican drug cartel for posting on an anti-crime website. U.S.-based journalist Maria Armudian, author of the new book Kill the Messenger, The Media's Role in the Fate of the World, has been tracking the situation in Mexico. She says democracy is at risk when the press is attacked.
The media are DNA for society. It's through information that we know how to respond and behave and organize ourselves as communities. When that information is flawed, it's like a mutant gene. The whole system can go haywire.
The result, Armudian says, is bad for both the press and the people they serve.
So it's quite the chilling effect both on journalists and journalism itself. And what it does to the community is even worse because people can't understand the kind of deeper dynamics of what's going on in Mexico.
The Committee to Protect Journalists says Mexico's criminal justice system has failed to prosecute more than 90% of press-related crimes over the last 10 years.
One thing that must occur is that these unpunished crimes, people are killing journalists with impunity. That has to stop. This is a major human rights abuse. It doesn't just affect the person herself or himself. It affects the entire community when they are silenced and can't get the vital information that they need.
Violent crimes against journalists aren't just happening in Mexico. Since 1992, 877 journalists have been killed worldwide as they attempt to do their jobs. And with fewer journalists able to investigate corruption and crime, Armudian says, it can ultimately affect how the international community perceives and responds to the crisis. To read more reporting from Armudian, visit armudian.com. Find out more about the systemic violence against journalists worldwide at cpj.org.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.